Thank you. At this time, we'd like to ask our children to come forward for our children's moment. How are you all doing this morning? Y'all doing all right? All right, we have the bag today. Now, the next couple weeks after this, we won't have the bag during Lent, but we're going to have goodies to give you all each week. Does that sound good? All right, so we'll trade the bag for some goodies, all right? All right, so what are the rules of the bag, Joel? Do you remember rule number one?
No.
It can't be alive. It can't have ever been alive, and if I don't know what it is, you have to explain it, or your mother has to explain it to me. That ought to be interesting. Is there an? Oh, okay. A little thing of magically melting poo. In case y'all, well, poo happens, y'all. It just did.
Open it, Daddy.
Yeah, open it. Yeah, it. Holy smokes. Jesus tells us. I know where I'm going with this. Jesus tells us that it's not what goes into the body that is unclean or that makes us unclean, but what comes out of the body that makes us unclean. And he's not necessarily talking about poo, but sometimes we say things that we shouldn't say, right? Right? And we say things that...
And sometimes you and me say poo.
Okay, yes. Sometimes we do. Only when mommy's not around, okay? Oh, man. This is really getting away from us. You never get the bag ever again. And so we want to be mindful of the things that we say, right? Oh, man. There's a time to have fun and there's a time to be serious. And sometimes those cross. Holy smokes. So let's be mindful of things that come out of us, the things that we say, the things that we think. We shouldn't always say the things that we think, should we? And we want to be mindful that those things oftentimes will put us in a pretty bad light. So thank you so very much, Joel. I appreciate that. And I think this is that left over from last week? Yeah. All right, so we're never doing the bag ever again. No, but next week we will have something else for us during the season of Lent. Thank you, Joel. That was very exciting. All right, and so next time when we'll give somebody else the opportunity to have the bag in a long, long time from now. So let's pray, and then you need to go downstairs. All right. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you again so very much for this day, for your love and grace. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity we have to speak love into the lives of others, Lord, and we pray that you would indeed help what comes out of us, out of our mouths, to be clean, to be what you desire for us to say and for others to hear, and may it always praise you in all things. Lord, we thank you for these children and for the opportunity we have to teach them and to learn from them. And we ask all these things in Christ's name. Amen. All right, time for y'all to go downstairs. Just go downstairs. Oh, man. I think Joel may have had some help with that one. Yeah, she did. She did. Her rebuttal was swift. Oh, man. Never in my wildest dreams did I expect to see that in there. Time to get serious. Enough of these shenanigans. Our scripture lesson this morning, there's really no way to come back from that, so we're just going to go on. Our scripture lesson this morning comes from 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 16 through 21. Over the course of the next several weeks, we will be going through our lectionary passages. Today is Transfiguration of the Lord Sunday, as I mentioned earlier, and so we'll be reading Peter's account of this from 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 16 through 21. Hear now the word of our Lord. We didn't repeat crafty myths when we told you about the powerful coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Quite the contrary, we witnessed his majesty with our own eyes. He received honor and glory from God the Father when a voice came to him from the magnificent glory, saying, "This is my dearly loved Son with whom I am well pleased." We ourselves heard this voice from heaven while we were with him on the holy mountain. In addition, we have a most reliable prophetic word, and you would do well to pay attention to it just as you would to a lamp shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. Most important, you must know that no prophecy of Scripture represents the prophet's own understanding of things, because no prophecy ever came by human will. Instead, men and women, led by the Holy Spirit, spoke from God. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray together. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you again for this day that you have given to us, for this opportunity we have to gather and to worship, to hear your word read and proclaimed. We give you thanks. We pray that you would be with the words you have given me to speak this morning. May they be your words and not my words. And may they open our eyes to see, our ears to hear, our hearts to receive, our minds to understand. And may we, in the strength of the bodies you have given to us, be faithful to your call upon us. And we ask all these things in Christ's name. Amen. Transfiguration Sunday is one of my favorite Sundays of the year. You'll realize quickly that I have a lot of favorite Sundays, a lot of favorite days, and Transfiguration is indeed one of them. Transfiguration Sunday is a celebration of the revelation of Jesus' true nature to his disciples, Peter, James, and John, on the mount that is now called the Mount of Transfiguration. And it was not just a revelation of who Jesus is to these three men, but a revelation of who he is to us, who would be told later by these men the things that had taken place. This passage is Peter's reflection and his application on the events that took place that day. We have here Peter remembering this event and applying it to the situation that he finds himself in and that the church finds themselves in. This event is one that forms Peter's theology of who Jesus Christ is, his understanding of who this man is that he has followed for some time. This event helps show him how he is to live his faith. Interestingly enough, this reference to the Transfiguration is the only other reference to the Transfiguration outside of the first three Gospels of Matthew, Mark, and Luke. We have the Transfiguration event happening in each of those three Gospels, and this is the only other time it's mentioned. Peter here is reminiscing, and you can get a sense of him remembering back to this event. And he's not doing so for his own glory. He's not reminiscing on this to boast that he was one of the three disciples who was there, or to boast about how holy he must be for having been there. Rather, he shares and reminisces this story, this event, to empower the church, to empower those who are having a difficult time, and to shine a little more light on Jesus, to shine a little more light on who he is so that others may know, and so that we may have that confidence of who Christ is. What Peter says about Jesus' transfiguration, we can see and have probably seen all throughout our lives, and we've been taught it. Maybe we weren't aware we were being taught it, but we learned and have continued to learn a lot about it from the beloved children's hymn, This Little Light of Mine. Anyone familiar with that hymn? Okay, good. Everyone should be familiar. There are a lot of different verses to this little hymn. It's in our hymnal, page 585, and there are three verses in there, two of which we'll look at today, and then there's another verse that I threw in there. I've put together the three verses I am most familiar with, the ones that I grew up learning. And so as we go through this and look at how Peter kind of describes his transfiguration event, I want you to join with me in singing these verses, the three verses that I've selected. We're going to sing them one at a time, and we're going to kind of take this. So once we're done with this, we'll preach on, and then we'll sing another one, and then we'll preach on. So we're just going to kind of break that up a little. So if you would please join with me and be loud and proud here. We know this song. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine, let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Beautiful. Y'all did excellent. Thank you. I'm glad I didn't have to sing a solo on that. Jesus here from Peter is receiving honor and glory. Peter is reminiscing about how Jesus received honor and glory from the Father. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. There's a sense we can hear the Father saying that. This little child of mine, I'm going to let him shine, and I'm going to continue to show him off to the people that he encounters. We, who Peter speaks of, and specifically again, he and James and John and us as the followers of Jesus, these heard the voice from heaven when Jesus was transfigured. And the voice from heaven said, "This is my dearly loved Son with whom I am well pleased." Now, I find it interesting that he phrases it this way, because in the gospel accounts, how it's more properly said is, "This is my beloved Son with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." But we have the "listen to him" missing here. But it was pretty clear when God said, "Listen to him," he was talking to them. And I think what's interesting about this is the second time we have God making this kind of proclamation about Jesus in the Gospels. Do we remember the first time that he says something like this? What's happening? Baptism. Jesus is baptized, and as he comes up out of the water, the Holy Spirit descends, and the Father says, "This is my Son whom I love. With him I am well pleased." And here we have the Father saying this again of Jesus. And here Peter is reminiscing and reminding us of what was said. You see, Jesus' baptism and his transfiguration, these two events are vitally important to who Jesus is and to how he understands himself and how we are to understand who he is. In each event, the Father allows a little more of his light to shine through. In each event, we have a little better understanding of who Jesus is. In his baptism event, we have Jesus as an obedient follower of his Father, an obedient son being baptized as he was told to be. In the transfiguration event, we have Jesus really kind of being shown for who he really is and what it means for him to be the Son of God before these three disciples and subsequently to us. In each event, we learn a little bit more of who Jesus is. The light burns a little bit brighter for us. And I wonder this morning, as we hear this, as we consider this, this little light of ours, are we going to let it shine? Are we going to shine on? Are we going to share this story with those that we encounter? These events that have taken place in Christ's life. We come then to the verse 2. This is a verse, again, I'm sure we're all very, and this is probably where you were going right after we got with the other one. So we're going to sing this one together. Everyone got their light? There's action that goes along with this. So everyone get your light out. I'll wait. I got nothing but time. All right, get your light out. All right, here we go. "Hide it under a bushel." No, "I'm gonna let it shine." "Hide it under a bushel." No, "I'm gonna let it shine, let it shine, let it shine, let it shine." Excellent. Nobody burned themselves, did they? "Hide it under a bushel." That doesn't make any sense, does it? A light can't shine under something in an effective way. Peter here is encouraging his fellow Christians to shine on as Jesus shines on. Really, he's telling them not to be afraid. Not to be afraid of the light that shines within them. Not to be afraid of the light of Jesus Christ. We have God constantly telling us not to be afraid. And the reason he does so is because we're afraid. We're afraid to shine that light. We're afraid to let other people see that light because That makes us vulnerable. And what happens if we're vulnerable? We may get rejected and someone may laugh at us, or we may be embarrassed about what's going on, and this, that, and the other. And Peter is writing these words because there are indeed some who are embarrassed, some who are getting a little confused about what it means to be a follower of Christ. They're a little embarrassed about the Christian faith because it seems so simple, right? And we're told to understand it as children. So Peter reminds us of the danger of hiding our faith. A flame can be a beautiful thing and it can give light, but if you cover it, you're allowing it either to go out or maybe to cause something to burn, right? And there's a huge difference between what a flame does in providing light and what a fire does in consuming and destroying. And if we keep it hidden, it does nobody any good. There's the danger of it going out or the danger of it causing a massive fire that would only destroy. There are some false teachers who are out there proclaiming some things that Peter wants to argue with and to kind of respond to, because they are saying things and telling the Christians things that aren't true. And he needs to respond to this. Because of the things these false teachers have been saying, people have been hiding their light. The people specifically that he is speaking against are the Epicureans, those of the Epicurean philosophy. And they make two points that Peter wants to address quite plainly, and he does so. They argue first that it is ridiculous to think that Jesus will judge all of humanity. It's ridiculous to think that this would happen. And they believe this is ridiculous for two reasons. First, they do not believe in God. And secondly, they don't believe in resurrection. And so it would make no sense for him to come back and to judge. It's ridiculous to think that. There is no such thing as resurrection. There's no such thing as God. They believe God is a made-up fantasy. And unfortunately, though Peter responds to this, there are many today who still believe that. There are many today who still believe God is some made-up fantasy. And Peter addresses this right off the bat. This isn't a crafty myth. I'm an eyewitness. I have seen this. I've seen it with my own eyes. I've not only seen the event of the Transfiguration, but I've seen Jesus Christ. I've spent time with him. I saw his baptism. I saw him get baptized. I was there when he died. I was there when he came back. I went to the tomb, and it was empty. Peter's an eyewitness. If you can't trust an eyewitness, who can you trust? This isn't something I made up. I'm Peter. You all know I'm not the brightest crayon in the box. I didn't make this up. I've seen it. I'm just sharing with you what I've seen. It's hard to refute an eyewitness. There has to be a level of trust in order to believe in Jesus, but there has to be the same level of trust to believe that God isn't real. There's going to have to be trust and faith in both directions, whether we want to admit that or not. The second thing they argue is that prophecy is pointless because, again, there is no divine intelligence. There is no God. So prophecy is pointless. And they're specifically speaking here of the Hebrew prophecy all throughout the Old Testament, proclaiming the coming Messiah, proclaiming that Jesus would come, that the Son of David would sit on the throne, things of this nature. And Peter insists here that all prophecy is from the Holy Spirit. It isn't made up. It isn't a human invention. There are a lot of articulate writers out there. There are a lot of creative people out there, but I doubt very highly they could have come up with something like this on their own. You just can't make some stuff up. You just can't. And Peter is insistent that the Holy Spirit is the one who has given us this prophetic word. In refuting all of this, Peter encourages his fellow Christians to be confident in what he has taught them, to be confident in the things that they have learned and the things that they have seen through Peter's ministry, through the ministry of the other disciples, those who have seen Jesus. Be confident in what you have seen. Are we confident this morning in who we claim to follow? in the things that Jesus has done. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Hide it under a bushel. No way, Jose. I'm going to let it shine. Verse 3. This may be a little different to some of you. Maybe you're not familiar with this. This is actually verse 3 in the hymnal. And again, this is one that I grew up with and one that I'm very familiar with. And I'm going to ask you to join with me. There are no motions to this one, so rest at ease. All through the night, I'm going to let it shine. All through the night, I'm going to let it shine, let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine. Peter tells us in verse 19 to pay attention to the prophecy of the Holy Spirit, to pay attention to the words of the Old Testament as we would pay attention to a lamp in the darkness. Be mindful, be drawn to it. Pay attention to the prophetic words spoken of Christ. The prophetic word from the Holy Spirit, Peter seems to be telling us, is as reliable as the sunrise. How many of you expected the sun to rise this morning? How many of you were awake when it happened? Okay, a few of us. All right, so you saw it. I got up and it was just there already, so yay. We expect it to happen. We never put any thought into it. It's going to happen. The sun is going to come up. Tomorrow, today, it's going to happen. The prophecy of the Holy Spirit is going to happen. It's reliable. It's consistent. It happens over and over and over again. When the sun rises, the lamp, the light that the lamp puts out is overcome, right? There's really no more need for the lamp once the light is up, once the sun has risen. And in the same way, when Jesus returns, our faith is going to be overcome, and it's going to turn into joy. I think the lamp that he's talking about here is the light that is within each and every one of us. It's here with us now, and it's here because we're in a time of darkness, we're in a time of transition, a time of waiting for the return of Christ. And the light shines more brightly in some than others, but it shines. And what joy will come when the sun returns. In the midst of uncertainty and doubt, we must allow our light to shine on. Indeed, that's when the light should shine brightest. Because of the uncertainty, because of the doubt, because of the fear, the anxiety, all of the things that take place. May our light shine on, knowing that if we look to the light, as we look upon the light, we are seeing Christ. Not just some human man who existed thousands of years ago, but the transfigured Jesus Christ, the resurrected Christ, who is both human and man, Son of God and Son of Man, the gift of the Father's unfailing grace, the ground of our hope. The transfiguration of Jesus Christ shows us Jesus as he is. Not necessarily as we would want him to be, not necessarily as we would expect him to be, but it shows us who he truly is. And it shows us what he will look like when he returns. I hope and pray this morning as we continue to await his return that we will continue to shine our light, that we will continue to fan the flame, that we will continue to share that light with others and continue to be drawn to it as the Holy Spirit prompts us. May we know this little light of ours, and may it shine brightly in our lives. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you again so very much for this day, for the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ, for the light that he is and for the light that the Holy Spirit continues to be in our midst. May we burn brightly so that others may come to know you. May we burn brightly so that whenever fear, anxiety, doubt arises, we may turn to you. Lord, we love you, we thank you, we praise you, and we ask all of these things in Christ's name. Amen.